For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
O'clock hour, open lines. Good morning. We're talking everything Lions, and we have TJ Lang in studio to do it. Dry TJ Lang. It was a wet game.
Yeah, it was.
And only one team seemed to be ready for it.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic that the team that plays outside in the elements looked more like the dome team than the dome team.
Yeah. I
mean, how many drop passes did they have? Jordan Love clearly didn't look right. It was an impressive win, man. You know, defense, say what you want about, you know, still struggling to get some pressure, and run defense looked a little shaky early, but to go out there, get a huge takeaway in that moment and win a division game on the road, man, that's never easy, especially in a place like that, especially after you lose one of your best defensive players in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. I thought it was impressive, man. And Jared Goff seems to just keep turning negatives into positives. You know, he's not good against pressure. Well, this year he's been one of the best quarterbacks against pressure. You know, he can't move. Okay, man, look at him. He's scrambling a little bit. He's moving in the pocket.
Yeah.
I can't win outside. You know, goes out yesterday. And I know he wasn't the sole reason that they won, but his efficiency and ball security was a huge reason.
Well, it's his decision-making regards to, I mean, every quarterback would love to throw the ball deep every time. His decision-making and patience of taking what is there, it's led to, you know, 30 completions in a row to Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's led to where the Lions are right now at 7-1, because at the beginning of the year, what we heard from Dan Campbell, Jared Goff was trying to do too much. And I think maybe he was trying to prove that he was worth the new contract. That's probably all a part of it, not the only reason.
Human nature, sure.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, week three, he settles down, finds himself a nice groove, and since then, he has been the most consistent quarterback in the NFL.
And yesterday, you were pretty much playing without your entire 2022 draft class, besides Kirby Joseph, you know. Hutch was out, Jameson Williams, Pascal, Malcolm was out. You know, I mean, you're doing it, missing some key stats. Branch goes out, like we said earlier in that game, which
what did you think of that?
I thought it was absurd.
Okay, we got calls too on it, but you go ahead. Tell us where you're at.
I thought it was absurd. Yeah. It was a penalty, no doubt, and a fine at some point this week. I thought it was absurd. And people, listening, driving into you guys, oh, it's definition targeting. Targeting is a college rule. Targeting does not exist in the NFL. Head-to-head contact does. It's not college where, oh, you hit him in the head, throw him out. Get rid of that thinking. That's not how it works. I thought it was absurd that they threw him out of the game. If you're going down a really slippery slope, if you're going to start to turn contact penalties into ejections, right? Unnecessary roughness or a face mask penalty. If it's egregious, I'll throw him out of the game. Like, you're going down a really slippery slope doing that. I think a part of it, too, was the NFL has this list of guys that are so-called repeat offenders that guys look at. Brian Branch, I don't think, has that label, but he did get a personal foul and a fine against Arizona earlier this season, which was also absurd because Trey McBride was the one who lowered his helmet into Brian Branch.
Yep.
But I think Brian Branch is on that list of guys that, like a Jamal Adams, the guy who's always, you know, kind of getting suspended for headhunting people. Those guys they're labeled on a list as, oh, we got to watch out for this. I think yesterday was clearly the NFL trying to send a message, but you can't convince me that if that was a 1 o'clock game, that he would have been ejected. That was a national televised game. I think that they were trying to prove a point. I thought it was a penalty, no doubt. I think it was the most egregious penalty I've ever seen, and did I think he launched into his head on purpose? No, I don't. I don't think that he saw Bo Melton drop the ball. I think at that point, you're seeing an open receiver. You're going to run. You're looking at your target, right? You're making contact with the player.
And you want to jar the ball loose.
Yeah, and the caller earlier said a couple seconds after that. That was a bang-bang play.
Split
second. It wasn't a couple seconds.
I think when you slow stuff down on replay, it feels like seconds, but it's not.
I thought it was absurd, and I think it's a very dangerous spot to start ejecting players for contact fouls.
But it's a huge game.
During the hits, and if it's a legal hit, you throw the penalty flag and you pay for it during the week.
You
don't kick people out of games for that. Not in the NFL, you don't.
Because it's prime time, and Campbell mentioned, because it's prime time. I would think the opposite should be the case. It's a big game. We shouldn't be in you know, setting new precedents during the big game. If that's not how it's officiated, it can't change during the biggest games.
Yeah, I agree with you. Throw a flag. We can all agree that it was a penalty.
Sure.
His yes. target was a little bit high. But it's a penalty, and it's a fine during the week, and you work to clean it up, right?
Yep.
So I thought it was absolutely absurd that they threw him out of the game for that.
We'll take a couple calls on it right now, and then we'll keep talking about the game itself, because the beauty of it is it didn't cost them. Like right. My entire life, those moments sink a game. Lions lose their difference maker at safety, and then they go in the tank and they lose, and we're bitching about it on the radio the next day.
Yeah.
It's a blip. It's something that you know people are upset about. Let's get to Terrence in Sterling Heights. You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Grateful you took my call. TJ, I would totally agree at how it was egregious to me. My wife and I were so angry. And to be honest with you, I'm with TJ on it. They clearly, the NFL, knew this going into this game, I feel like, and they tipped off the referees and said, listen, just get him out of the game because they're trying to make a point with him. And I think it's ridiculous. You're going to take all the instincts out of the game.
I don't think it was on the referees because they said it came from New York. Yeah. I think if it was up to the referees at the game, they would have called it a penalty. And
the referees,
on.
Yeah. I mean,
I think
New York can come in if the refs missed, like, hey, you missed after the play. He kicked him in the throat or stomped on him or threw a punch. You guys didn't see that. We saw it. You need to go back and correct it. But for them to come in on a contact play. And look, you know what? I think another thing that changes a lot of people's fan, watching that play live looked like just a physical hit, right? You get to watch it in slow-mo and, you know, an ultimate slowed-down version. Football's not played that way. Players do not get a chance to go slow-mo and I'm going to time this up and put my, crown of my helmet right into this guy's jaw, right into the back of his head. It doesn't work like that. We get the benefit of watching slow-mo replay. The refs get the benefit of watching it in super slow-mo, and of course it's going to look worse than what it actually is. So for you to say to egregious, I mean, look, I agree with you that it was a penalty. But I think if it was left up to the refs at the field, Cleet Blakeman, he was just going to call the penalty as it should have been.
Yep.
And then 30 seconds goes by, and oh, by the way, you know, he's got to leave the game. And then we saw what happened after that, which he's probably going to face another fine for flipping the double bird over to the sideline. It's a football play. You wear a helmet for a reason. Guys are going to get hit in the head. It's going to happen. I don't think Brian Branch personally went out there and said, Bo Melton, anytime he comes across midfield, I'm going to knock his head off. I don't think Brian Branch plays the game like that. People get hit in the head. You get penalized for it. You move on, right? I just thought it was completely asinine that they threw him out of the game for that.
Especially when you compare it to, you could compare it to a lot of different hits across the season, but yesterday there were three hits that were very similar. The only ejection was Brian Branch. And to Dan Campbell's point, I know the one that was in the 1 o'clock game with Buffalo and Miami, Keon Coleman was a receiver. I don't remember who the defensive back
Poyer.
Was. Poyer. It was almost a carbon copy of what the hit the Brian Branch had, except to me it was even more contact, and it looked even worse with the way that Keon Coleman's head snapped back and he hit the ground. I thought if Brian Branch was ejected for his hit, that one should have been as well. But no, it was just a personal foul, and then all of a sudden, no ejection.
That's why I said you're going down a slippery slope. Right. You're going to start ejecting everybody for illegal
helmet to helmet. Yeah.
TJ, you were at Lambeau getting everything ready, but Chris Olave gets taken out of the game with a scary moment, stretchered off the field. No one's ejected on that play. So I guess what I would say, what other rules are different in primetime? Just so we're on the same page, what other things are you not allowed to do in prime time that aren't the case at 1 o'clock? Can we just be very transparent about this moving forward? Because I thought the officials are supposed to call the game the same way, whether the game kicks at 1, 4, 8, Monday night, Thursday night. But apparently there are different rules in prime time, so I would like to just know what they are.
Yeah.
Then maybe the office in New York can let us know, is holding only 5 yards in prime time? Like, what other changes are there that I need to be aware of?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Because that's nonsense.
And that's why I agree with you guys that it sounded like, you know, they were trying to prove a point, you know, or send a message, which is maybe even worse.
Right.
You know, in a game like that with the division on the line early in the season, I mean. Yeah.
Thankfully, it didn't cost them at all.
Right. I mean, that really kind of galvanized the rest of the defense, man. They were ready to go after that. They outscored Green Bay for 56 minutes of that game. You know, that was... It was impressive, man.
And I do want to focus mostly on the game. Right now, we've got calls. We'll get to calls. You guys want to complain about the branch thing. We get it. We didn't understand it either. The win, the significance, 7-1 for this football team. TJ's got a bunch of thoughts we still haven't even gotten into. We ought to know which bus you're on. John's got the 14-3 bus, but I debuted the 15-2 Express.
Oh, boy.
That's right, TJ.
All right.
We want to see where you're at. We'll get to it this hour. It's 97-1. And this time of year, we tell you about great deals. It's time to get off the sideline, get in the game with Moran Chevrolet, where GM employees and immediate family members can lease a 2025 Trax 1RS for just $239 a month, 36 months. That's $999 down at Moran Chevrolet. No word on 15-2 buses, but you can shop at MoranExpress.com, where you always get the best price, period. Moran has shipments arriving daily. They're going to have what you're looking for. Stop by in person. They're on Gratiot, north of 15 Mile in Clinton Township. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did he say that to you, TJ?
Yeah, Coach. There's a reason why we record the post-game interviews instead of doing them live.
Yeah, there's so many. There's only drop buttons. So many drop buttons you can hit before you actually live.
Yeah, we need to edit
this BS, and then he
got the first one,
not the second one.
Second one rip.
Hey, TJ, Packers got an offensive lineman, Jenkins.
Yeah, Elton Jenkins.
Yeah, he said after the game, the team that executed won, not the better team.
He got his feelings hurt. Well, part of being a good team is executing, like John said. So,
yeah.
Did they miss opportunities? Yeah, Green Bay. I mean, they missed a field goal. They dropped a ton of passes, but yeah.
Dropped a touchdown.
Good teams don't do that.
I'm on saying Brown didn't drop his touchdown.
Exactly.
Correct. Hell of a throw.
I mean, you know, it was a great block on the backside by Laporta and Sewell, obviously, when Gibbs broke it on fourth and one for a touchdown. I mean, execution is part of being a good team.
Yeah, and situational football, taking care of the football, scoring in the red zone, being good on third and fourth down.
Yep.
Here's where
good
I thought,
in, you know, 2 4-minute drives.
Jared Goff was really good. Tom mentioned this earlier, and I second it, co-signed it. Where Jared Goff, there were a couple of times where, yeah, okay, he's, you know, 10 for 10 at one point, right? You know, is he ever going to throw another incompletion? There were a couple of third downs where blitz came, he knew it was coming, and he just simply threw the ball away where he wasn't going to get a penalty, but he wasn't going to try and force something like Jordan Love tried to do. Like, those are that's execution at its in itself, where, okay, it's an incomplete pass, but he's not taking a hit and he's not putting the ball at risk.
Yeah. No, he's playing outstanding. And the stats aren't going to, you know, oh my gosh, look at he's setting records.
No.
The efficiency that he's playing with, man, that's all this team needs, right?
Yeah. He's stepped up in a big way. They all were ready for this game. Like, we talked Friday, I was nervous about the weather, first outdoor game, and it's raining and windy for Goff, right? Weather can kind of have an effect where it knocks both teams down to the same level. Detroit's a better football team, but weather, you know, weird bounce, drop, pass, sloppy, it can knock down the better team to the other team's level. Detroit didn't let any of the problematic elements of that game hurt them. They were ready for all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, Green Bay had a couple botched snaps, right? I mean, the couple critical snaps down in the Lions territory where the ball's low and it bounces and the play's over. Detroit had none of that. They were ready for the game. And it shows that this team is, no matter what the adversity is, no matter what the moment is, they're ready for it. And it's why I came in today and I said, John, I won't get on your 14-3 bus. I'm in the express lane, 15-2 for this football team. Like, TJ, what adversity?
You're in the HOV lane.
Like, TJ, think about it.
Well, who's the loss to, Jim?
Well, I don't know.
Call your shot.
But think about it. Like, who are they going to... It doesn't matter what adversity they face. They lose Aiden Hutchinson. Doesn't matter. They lose Brian Branch. Doesn't matter. They go outdoors. They go on the road. They play the Vikings. They play the Packers. It doesn't matter.
TJ, before you answer the question, because we do want to know, are you more on the 15-2 bandwagon or the 14-3 bus? Is Jim Costa has a track record, and it's a recent track record. Maybe it's recency bias. He's a Red Wings fan, as we all know. Mm-hmm. Season tickets. He's been to 3 Red Wings games. All of them losses.
Ooh.
He had tickets to go on Saturday night. He decided, I'm going to watch college football. I don't want to go. Hey, babe, you go with your dad. And so he doesn't go to a game that he had tickets for, and they win. So to me...
Yeah, that's clear. That's enough of a sample size for sure.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's a sample size.
Away.
So
stay away, buddy.
With that context, I now ask you, 15-2, 14-3.
I could get on with 14-3. Is being realistic.
So negative.
No, I mean 15-2 would be incredible. Can they beat everybody?
Yeah, 14-3 would be incredible.
If they can play this way for an entire season, yeah, they're not going to lose again. They're good enough to beat everybody. But I'm not going to hold them to that expectation.
They'll be favored every game the rest of the way.
I agree with you.
Have you been a part of a team that was clearly the better team on a Sunday yet lost?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I think we were 12-0 in 2011, and we lost to Kansas City, who was just fired their coach. And we were like 1-10.
But this
the bounce back game,
but TJ. Yeah.
No, it happens.
Can
man.
They lose? Yeah. Sure, and I guess I'm building in one loss for that. That they would lose 2 more times this season. Like even spots like Tennessee would be a letdown spot. He has the team ready. Like what is it going to be that they would trip up? It feels like they're ready for all of this. Well, that they're so unified that they don't let things slip through the cracks with the details during the week, and then on game day they execute.
I'm with you, but I think it's realistic to say you still got 4 division games left, you know, and division
You've
games aren't
beaten. Two of them at their place.
Okay, one of them you needed a walk-off field goal. I'm not, you know, saying that was a bad win or anything, but division games are tough, man. Yep. They are. We saw last year, right? Green Bay came in here, and last time you went to Chicago, it seems like that's like the next hurdle, man, is Jared Goff doesn't play good at Chicago. I think that we've still got a couple more weeks before we see that, but that's always a tough game. You know, Buffalo is going to be a tough game. San Fran, who knows by the time December
they
comes around,
healthy.
We're so far away from that game. These teams could look completely different. You know what I mean? So I think I look at it the same way, Jim. I think we're all riding high right now, and we're thinking, man, this team's never going to lose again. It's kind of the same. Do you expect Jared Goff to continue to complete 80% of his passes the rest of the season?
Right. It feels ridiculous.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of an unfair standard to hold it to and be like, the first time he goes below 70%, you're going to be like, oh, Jared Goff, like, man, he stinks again.
Costa
you know what I mean? But it's like, to expect them to go win every single game is like expecting Jared
Stafford.
Goff to go play every game with 2 incompletions.
But I'm at the point where if he threw for a 55% completion, I go, well, they probably ran for 200 yards, or the defense probably scored a touchdown, or the special teams probably scored a touchdown. Like, they always pick each other up.
No, I'm with you, but I think it's the expectation that it's just going to continue to happen.
They've earned it.
I think it's a little bit unrealistic.
The thing is, they have a look, though, of a dominant team that comes along in this league every 5 to 10 years. They really do look, and it's just, I think it's hard for us to believe because of the past around here.
Well, I believed before it was cool to believe.
You know, like yesterday, I think something that we haven't mentioned yet this morning, but really gets taken for granted, is that basically once they got the touchdown to open the second half, they put the offense on autopilot on the road in the division and still won the game. Mm-hmm. And only gave up a garbage TD because Amik Robertson had a personal foul.
You gotta think about that. They weren't going to give up a touchdown at all in the game. And that's a testament to Aaron Glenn. And we don't even know if he could see the play sheet. And the defense was ready to go. TJ, you didn't see it because you were at the game. His glasses.
Yeah. I saw it on the TV broadcast a couple times. But you know what's – and I had to – since Aiden Hutchinson went out, 3.5 games, right? The second half, Dallas, you let up 3 points. That defense had 4 takeaways. Minnesota, you let up 22, right? We fumbled the ball, gave them 6 points. You had a takeaway that game. Tennessee, 14 points, 4 takeaways.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Green Bay didn't score a touchdown until 3.5 minutes left in the game. And obviously, you had the pick 6. That defense outscored Green Bay's offense for 56 minutes. You know what I mean? So, and I did think yesterday, like, I don't know about you guys, it did feel like and I know we all saw the reports like right around game time that they're expected to make a move for Za'Darius Smith. I haven't seen any updates this morning, but clearly, you know, you look at these games and you still say, man, like you have to address the pass rush, right? You got a day and well, what, just a little bit over, you know, a day now.
Yeah, 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Do it, but that still feels like, man, if there's going to be something that holds this team back, there were still way too many times where Jordan Love just had all day in the pocket.
Yeah. Oh, he did. He had plenty of time.
I still think that's, you know, we can't overlook the fact that we're on a winning streak. Everything's going great. You still got to find ways to improve.
I would agree. I think you can acknowledge how dominant this team is and say, put another log on the fire, right? Yeah. Add more. Get better.
I think we're just really happy, both TJ and I, that you had to wait till midseason before you finally got behind this team. That you finally got on the bus, and you could call it the 15-2 train and the 14-3 bus, but that you finally, when it was finally cool, and it was obvious.
When it was convenient,
yeah. But it was obvious that they're a good team, that you finally got on board. We appreciate that.
I went from negative hater, 12-5, division champion, NFC champion, to the most positive member of the show now at 15-2.
When it was convenient.
Winning will win people over. 248-539.
Conveniency really helps.
97.97. Tim and Flushing, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. First, I agree with John. I hope I'm wrong and that Costas is right. Okay? I'll never say that again, probably, but I'm going to say it anyway. I love it. No?
Yep.
Anyway, I'm an official, but I do basketball and baseball. And I'm sitting there watching this branch hit. Sorry to revisit this because I know we've beaten it. I'm sitting there trying to figure it out. And, I mean, I sat there. The only thing I can think of is that, and a lot of times as officials, you sit there and you say, you want to make sure that whatever you do in the first half, you keep it consistent through the second half, right? So they don't want to get somewhere where Branch, okay, they'll let that hit go at the beginning of the second quarter, you know, whenever that was. And all of a sudden, yeah, that guy, okay, he knocks him off. But then the third quarter, he goes and really takes somebody's head off because they let him go too far. That's the only explanation I could come up with. Other than TJ, you know, TJ them handing it down for the New York. I couldn't think. I'm sitting there. I was confused, really. It didn't look that bad, you know?
It didn't look like any different than the head-to-head, helmet-to-helmet hits we see all across the Sunday.
Almost every game you see a hit like that.
Probably almost every single game. Jay in Walled Lake, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Good.
So, really quick, you know something? While we know this team is tough as hell, I think one big factor that everybody's kind of underrating is how well the fans travel. You know, think about it. In a division game like Green Bay yesterday, you got all of these Lions fans traveling there, and when they're getting momentum, you hear Jared Goff, Jared Goff. You know, that kind of juices up the team. You know it does, and you know that if you rally behind this team, you know the team is going to play well. But I am very impressed with how well our defense is playing. You know, they didn't give up a ton of yards through the air or on the ground. And when Josh Jacobs kind of got off, you seemed to make the proper adjustments and, you know, kind of held that team just about scoreless throughout the whole game. You know what I mean? It was never a point in the game where I thought that this team was ever in trouble and that they might lose. Even though Jordan Love had a lot of time in the pocket, he didn't make a lot of good throws because they were playing in the rain. I don't think the Packers were prepared at all.
Nope.
You know, and that's saying a lot coming on a home game, right, against a divisional opponent. Y'all both are fighting for the first place. They just seemed like they were just not ready at all, and they were ready to go home. Like, this wind and this rain is killing us. Let's just go home and do what we have to do. But this Lions team is tough as hell. I can only see them maybe losing another two games.
That puts them right in that 14-15 wins. Yeah, they're just becoming this team that just – there's no way that you can rattle them. And they just keep winning. 248-539-9797. More of your phone calls. Ticket Texter says, Mike Florio made up the Za'Darius Smith trade rumor to drive up the price. Coming up next, do we actually think that deal happens? What is the expectation ahead of the deadline? Get TJ's thoughts. It's 97.1. Ticket Texter says, I am not on the 14-3 bus or the 15-2 train, not even the 16-1 jet. I'm taking SpaceX back in time, 17-0, baby. The euphoria is real. Lions fans are in a great mood. Victory Monday, 6 straight wins and a double-digit victory at Lambeau Field. TJ Lang is in studio. TJ, this is unlike anything we've ever seen.
Are we just wiping off that Tampa loss?
As we said, back in time, and they're just going to review it. Like,
gotcha. Okay.
Didn't actually happen. Za'Darius Smith, as we look ahead a little bit here, he posted on Instagram, wearing all blue. Week 10, breadcrumbs. The report from Pro Football Talk is he will be a Detroit Lion soon. What do you make of it?
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I think he's been one of the hottest names of realistic guys that could be on the move, right? He's an upgrade from, you know, the defensive ends that you currently have on the roster. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I would be surprised for him or Ojulari from the Giants. And I don't know. Okay, experience-wise, I'll take Zadarius, especially in division. If you don't want to make a long-term commitment and it's probably going to cost you less, Ojulari is in the last year of his rookie contract. Now, it's not as good of a fit for this defense because he's not as good at defending the run or the same, playing the same position, really. He's an edge pass rusher. He's not going to be – Zadarius is going to be a guy that can defend the run as well.
Hand in the dirt and play the run, yeah.
But he's on the last year of his contract. Zadarius has 2 years, this year and next year.
Could you get both? We talked about it a little bit last week.
Sure. You can get both. I mean, you can. I mean, the answer is sure.
It's just
until somebody tells you no.
It's just the best of both worlds. You don't have to mortgage the future, and you're not putting all your hopes onto one player. It's a couple guys. It's reinforcements. It's multiple players that can win one-on-one and get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Both of them have more than 5 sacks this season, right? I think Zadarius is at 5 or 6, and Ojulari's at, I think, 6 or 7.
Yeah, it lasts, I think, 3 or 4 games. Or
yeah, Ojulari. 5 and 3 games or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was starting to, you know, talking with the Green Bay people yesterday. That was a name that Green Bay was talking about trying to go after. Ojulari.
Ojulari, yeah.
So, and that's something that we talked about, I think, last week, that if you stand pat, you know, there's a gap between you and everybody else at this point of the season. If you stand pat, other teams are going to make moves to start to close that gap on you, right?
Like, so Minnesota last week added a tackle, right? And we've seen Baltimore add a receiver, and Kansas City's added a receiver and a pass rusher.
Yeah, AFC is like a race to get a wide receiver, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, teams over there making moves.
And Buffalo
receivers.
Added Amari Cooper. Yeah, that's another one.
Yeah, the Jets went with Devontae Adams.
Finally worked out for him. Finally worked out for him on Thursday.
So, there it is.
Finally worked out, yeah.
The expectation for you tomorrow is what? That the Lions do something?
Yeah.
And is it
they have to.
And is it Zadarius Smith, then, that you expect them to land?
If I'm going to believe the reports.
Yeah. Well, then maybe you don't. I mean, we had Ticketexter say, no one else is confirming it. Is this a bidding war? Is this a Cleveland source leaking it to say, hey, highest and best, come get them before Detroit does? Is there a deal in place or not? We don't know.
Right. That's what I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
But that's been, and not even just yesterday, but really the past couple weeks, I think that's been a name that has been linked to be on the move. So do I expect the Lions to be in that conversation? Absolutely. That's the biggest need right now. You need to go get somebody that can kind of help that pass rush, jolt the pass rush a little bit, while also, like you said, John, setting an edge in the run game. Out of realistic targets, I mean, I think we're all taking Max Crosby, Trey Hendrickson, all those guys off the maybe the realistic table. So if Zadarius Smith is on the move, I absolutely expect the Lions to be in the mix for it.
Yeah, and it was Dave Burkett had this, I think it was yesterday, in the Free Press, where sources close to the situation said that they did call Vegas about Max Crosby. And so you got to love the fact that it's leaking out. There are reports that they're at least making all of those calls. And so if they made that call, you know that they've been in the mix with a Zadarius Smith or an Ojulari. Like, all of these are the next level, even 2 levels down from where you're talking about with Max Crosby. So, yeah, I think the conversations are happening. It's just going to be a matter of who ends up getting the deal done.
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like you're going to get, you know, an all pro or have to give up multiple pick, but are you making an upgrade? Yeah, you're making an upgrade if you go get a guy like Zadarius Smith, right? And I think that's all that us as fans would like to see, just the effort of, you know, hey, we got a real chance this year. You know, we're going to take some chances and try to keep improving as much as we possibly can. I think the worst idea, we kind of saw it last year, was just kind of standing pat, right? Just feeling like you're good enough right now. Are they good enough right now? Right now they are, right? But who knows, come end of December, January football, right? This team could look totally different. At least give the effort to say, man, we really feel like we got a chance. We're going to go out there and take our shot.
There's no bye weeks. So, again, this is kind of a march to the end of the season, and there will be a battle of attrition. And
there'll be a bye week in that first round.
Right. But until then, you're going to have to play, what, 10 straight weeks here? buckle up the chin straps. Some guys are going to get banged up. Give yourself a chance with some reinforcements.
Yet you think they're only going to have one more loss, no matter the injuries.
Well, I mean, they've lost Aiden. They've missed J-Mo. They lose Brian Branch mid-game. Hasn't seemed to matter. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the playoffs and you play the best of the best, you want to know that you've done everything you can so that you win those playoff games and win a Super Bowl. And it feels like if Brett Holmes doesn't do something, I really just don't want to be gaslit as a fan. Like, well, we like our group. Like, we know you've done your homework. We know you've watched this football team, too, and have seen the inability for guys to win one-on-one, the need to blitz to get any semblance of pressure. Just, I don't want the Lions to come out and not do anything and then tell us, like, oh, well, we've been winning. We're okay. We know you still have to, and they know they still have to do more.
And the buy-in will be there forever. Whoever that player is, that they decide, hey, okay, we're going to pull the trigger on this trade. If it's Za'Darius Smith, he's already talked about, I think it would be fun to play in Detroit. I would like to be there. And you know that in the mindset of the player coming in, you're now going from a bad team to a team that is, in a lot of cases, favored to win the Super Bowl. And this is one of his quotes as well. It's kind of a side benefit. If I was to go to Detroit, I would like it because I get to play Green Bay twice a year, the Vikings twice a year. So, yeah, that'll be big. I mean, this is a guy that played for both of those franchises. They at some point said, we no longer want you. Now you get him to come in for a division opponent and play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder.
248-539-9797. We have ticket techs. We got open lines. You want to talk about the game, the deadline, Brian Branch, dealer's choice. Paul in Chesterfield, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, great game yesterday. I can't stand the Packers. In fact, I hate them. And I know TJ's there, and I'm sorry, but I never could. And that the hit yesterday, and I want to agree with John on something because I think he said something about this earlier, the fact that I don't think when Brian was coming across that he actually saw, you know, where Wilson was when he hit him. And I actually think he didn't mean to hit him high like that in the helmet. I think it was just the fact that he didn't see him coming in like that, you know. And when you play football, that's what you're taught to do, is to tackle the guy. So, I mean, if he was blocked in any way, shape, or form from seeing Wilson, yeah, he's going to probably hit him in the head. And Wilson was off balance anyway. So I don't understand the mentality with Green Bay. I understand that it's the holy grail of football, all right, but you know what? It's an NFL franchise, just like the Detroit Lions. The Lions are playing very well right now. Why would you take, even though the Lions did need Branch last night because they won the game, but why would you hinder a team like that, okay, after something like that? I don't understand the mentality with the NFL, all right? Because you're right. Because when you start doing stuff like that and you eject a guy for a hit like that, you're asking for trouble, and it's going to come across from the whole league, not just a couple of teams. I mean, you're setting a different precedent here. So, you know, from this point on, all right, once the dust settles and all this, I mean, is Brian Branch going to get fined for this?
Or
is
he
he'll suspension? Definitely get fined, yeah.
Suspension? I don't know. I mean, TJ, what do you think?
You're definitely going to get fined. Anytime you draw a personal foul, it's an automatic fine. You can go back and appeal it throughout the week, but the double bird, that's going to be another fine.
Suspension? He said suspension.
Do I think it's possible? I mean, anytime you get kicked out of a game, I think that's an automatic discussion, and then you add on the unsportsmanlike after that. Would I be surprised to see this week that maybe they try to throw a game at him? I don't think I would. I think he would have a good chance to appeal it because you have a chance to say, look, did I hit the guy high? Yeah. Was it a penalty? Sure. But the guy didn't even get hurt. We saw Chris Olave get wheeled
off the field.
Carted off the field. I mean, they threw like 9 penalty flags on that hit. That guy still was allowed to play and stay in the game, right? He's going to get a fight. But the suspension talk, I don't know. That's going to be interesting this week. And I think only because if it was off the hit, no. But if you combine that with the fact that he did throw up the double bird gesture over to the sideline, anytime you rack up penalties like that,
plural,
I think they're probably going to take a look at it. Do I think it's worthy of suspension? Personally, no, I don't. But I don't know what the NFL is going to do. They kicked him out of the game yesterday, which I didn't think was was absurd too. So I have no idea what they're going to
do. Well, I felt like he already got more than enough of a punishment for what happened. That's just my two cents of it, but it's not my call in the league. Okay, TJ, maybe it is a suspension. We'll see. We got Thoughts coming up next from you guys. Ticket text, phone calls. Carson Anderson, 10 o'clock. It's 97.1. Fall is here. It's a victory Monday. Don't be one of those millions of Americans that lets their dental benefits go to waste. Give Brightside Dental a call. Get in there for an exam or a cleaning. They've got appointments all November and December with 9 Metro Detroit locations. Up to 9 now. Just opened a new one in Trenton. Give them a call today. 1-800-PAINLESS. Visit brightsidedental.com. If you're someone who's subconscious about their smile, let's take care of it. Brightside Dental and orthodontics. They've got braces and Invisalign. Check them out. Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Hell of a play by Ed Reed. I'm sorry, Kirby Joseph for the Detroit Lions. Game-altering play, because now you're up 2 scores going into the half. And it's a monsoon. And Jordan Love's got to throw it nearly 40 times. Good luck.
Yeah, you took Josh Jacobs out of it. He had 10 carries in the first half and then I think 3 in the second, right?
Yeah.
It was huge. And you get the ball coming out of half, you put up another touchdown?
Because if I'm Green Bay at the time, we're out rushing Detroit in a game that's going to be all about the trenches and, you know, hard hat on and slobber knocker. And if it's a one-score game, you can stay better committed to that. Once it starts going the other way, you're down 2-3 scores, you got them right where you want them. And Detroit earned that position by not making the mistakes. Like, what is Jordan Love thinking on that play?
No idea. That was horrendous.
I don't know, but have you seen the... I don't know if... I'll have to Google this here in just a second, but there's a screenshot of Kirby Joseph's Wikipedia page, and it goes through the normal stuff, right? Kirby Joseph, born, blah, 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 is an American professional football safety for the Detroit Lions of the National Football League. He played college football at Illinois. He is also owner of the Green Bay Packers and father to Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love.
He does seem to like playing at Lambeau Field.
He does.
How about this? 6th interception of the year, most in the league, 14 for his career, tied for the most in the NFL since he entered the league. And since 2000, only Ed Reed has more interceptions among safeties in their first 40 games. Ball hawk.
Yeah, it's good, man.
Yeah, just
really good.
Somebody has either done a screenshot, an edit, or it's been edited back to it stopped at he played college football at Illinois. That's too bad.
Angry Packers fans scouring Wikipedia this
morning. Yes, it's for their daddy.
TJ, we brought it up earlier. 2 years ago, Aaron Rodgers called them that team. It was on November 6th of 2022. He said, we lost to that team. They were a 1-6 football team.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, counting that day, Detroit is 29-9. They've won the division. They've won a couple playoff games. They're the best team in football. They are that team, a team nobody wants to play. Very different than what Aaron meant, but very true today.
They are that team.
They are that team nobody wants to play.
No doubt, man. And they're doing it all 3 phases. Even Jack Fox yesterday, man, had a couple like field flipping punts.
61-yarder in the rain with the ball was snapped low.
Yeah.
First of all, great job catching it. And then he gets off a 61-yarder.
Yeah. And there was a horrible fair catch by Jaden Reed, by the way.
Oh, I know. There was like 20 yards in front of him. The closest guy is 20 yards away.
Thank you.
And you could tell when he caught it too and looked up, he was like, oh. Bad decision.
Oops.
I thought the same thing too. They let it go on the broadcast, but I'm like, oh man, that's not going to be let go in the meeting rooms.
No.
With Jordan Love, not to gloss over it, that interception he threw, terrible pick. How do we view him right now? Like, as an excuse, he's hurt, and like, I know he's limping out there on the field. He's leading the league in interceptions. Like, if everybody thought that the second half of last year was a coming out party, I'll point to the dumb interception he had against San Francisco in the playoffs and the mistakes he continues to make this season. Did people put the cart before the horse on him being this next great franchise quarterback?
And he also hasn't played in, I mean, he leads the league in interceptions. He didn't play in 2 games, and I think only part of another of
half,
a third.
Yeah. Missed about 2.5 games. Yeah. I mean, he's turnover prone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's
got to be a leader somewhere.
I don't think it's this, but you kind of view him, and I don't think it's this, I don't want to
say
disrespect the guy, it's kind of turning into like a Geno Smith type. Like, the guy's got talent. If you give him time, he can hit open receivers. But also, if you fluster him a little bit, you know he's going to be a turnover machine. Like, that's what he's been this year.
TJ, that's going to get aggregated now. Former Packer TJ Lang calls him Geno Smith.
He's turning the ball over.
It's going to be on the blogs everywhere, TJ.
At an unrealistic rate. You know what I mean? Like, no, that's an unsustainable rate. Like, that's the type of quarterback. That's how you look at some of these other guys. Hey, man, if we fluster him, we know he's going to give us some chances to take the ball away.
Yeah.
He's turning that type of quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's hurting, you know, it's hurting that team, which we're not sad about, but he's hurting his team when he makes plays like that. That was a game-changing, horrible, like...
Yeah, it altered the whole thing.
Inexcusable pass in that situation.
He also had one play later in the game that didn't come back to haunt him, but it was like a second down, and he's drifting and drifting, and it's like, dude, throw the ball away. He's drifting and drifting. He's pumping, and he threw it, and it was incomplete. It's like, what are you doing?
I think that was a fumble, by the way, too. That ball came out of his hand. You're talking about, like, late... Down
second
on the
half.
Kind of the sideline.
Yes.
And we ended up, that was actually the drive that I think they got the stop on the 4th-and-1 to Jacobs. But that, yeah, I know which one you're talking about. He's going down the sideline. He went to like throw it away, but that ball like looked like it just bounced out of his hand. I thought they should have reviewed it and taken
it
a look at it.
Yeah, it looked like it slipped.
Yeah, because if they would have called it a fumble, that would have been 3rd-and-10 instead of, oh, it's incomplete. Let's go back to 3rd-and-1. It didn't make a difference anyways. But
sure.
Yeah, you're right. Ooh. I mean, there's just some
careless.
Dumb plays like that.
The move just made in the NFL.
Yeah.
Saints have fired head coach Dennis Allen.
First coach fired.
That's no surprise.
Mm-hmm. Lost 7 straight games?
Yeah, started 2-0, scoring 60 points a game. And then,
for the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.